This is it. This is the Monty Show. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Name of the show is Winning at Life, the Daily Route. Live financial talk. Phone numbers 504-260-0995. How can we help you?
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, well, the numbers were a decided turnaround from yesterday. Yesterday was a bunch of red. Today's a bunch of green. However, I noticed a bit of a bloodbath in the bond world. I'm going to have to get Gregory to explain that one to me. Because, I mean, I've wanted bonds, you know, the rate to go up. But, man, this much in one day, there's a lot of upset bondholders out there. Also, we're going to tell you some surprising Social Security benefits you can get that you may not have known about. Optimism in the economy continues to be at almost a... We're at a Disney level of fantasy land here, Gregory. Everyone is so happy and so excited. A record low 12% of Americans consider the economy a top problem in the United States. That's the all-time low in the history of ever. Americans have never been more positive about the economy. There's never been more small business optimism whenever those guys are surveyed, and now this Gallup poll. When you ask them what's the top problem, well, it used to be that that was the only problem that really mattered. Remember, it's the economy, stupid. Well, combine a great economy that not only are people making money, but more people are getting into it and participating into it. Combine that with the absolute absence of coverage of this, the greatest untold story of 2018 and 2017 is this economy. So with no reporting on it, people aren't even really noticing. It's kind of fallen by the wayside. And that's almost kind of weird, don't you think, Gregory? Economy to be this good, but get so little attention for it.
Well, it's being ignored is what it's being. If it was somebody, look, and I'm not, and this doesn't go to political party, but if it was a Republican that was in the political system, it would get more attention. Now, it would. Well, no, I'm saying Republican, non-Trump Republican, but somebody that had came up, was, say, in the House and then became a senator, might have held something in the cabinet or something, and then became president and be a Republican, he would get more attention for job well done. And, of course, if it was a Democrat, it would like, oh, they would get attention too, but Trump is a complete outsider and their whole belief is this shouldn't be happening. It can't be because of him. Can we get Obama back out there and him take credit for it? You know where this started, people. And they're all, woo! And it didn't, it started with Trump and it's continuing. He's fixing a lot of problems and the economy is going to get better. Heck, I'm surprised it's as high as 12%. It just means there's people disconnected that can't get reconnected. And maybe it's because they need to go read some books so they can do something different because maybe their industry is dead and gone and they can't reconnect.
That's interesting. So it's more to the fact that he's an outsider than his political party is. Kind of what's holding back the coverage.
I believe it's more so because he's an outsider that's accomplished it. And it's, he has vanquished everybody and everybody predicts his doom, you know, predicts, oh, this thing's sell everything. It's about to go bad. You know, we've got ridiculous debt and we do. That still may be a problem depending on how long his tenure goes. But I've said for months, I said a year ago, we have to get a GDP that's above 4% for the math to work. If you keep the economy growing, unemployment low, jobs growing, wages growing, even though you're carrying some debt, you're putting more people to work. And guess what's going to catch up? Treasury deposits on the back end. Think about it. We have a lot more people working than we did 2 years ago. And you're going to see wage growth coming because the workforce, there's less to draw from. So the trucking industry, what are they paying? Those guys in trucking business are getting raises. If their own company don't give it to them, they're heading to the company down the street and getting more money, which means they're paying more taxes, and those trucking companies are busy and they just can't get everything to where it needs to be. That is what's going on. You want to know more?
I like how I've sparked something going on there. Because what I hear from truckers is the big leap that they all want to make, is most of them want to make, is to be their own owner operator, to own the truck that they're driving and to control what jobs they take, when they take, and where they take them.
This is a good time for those guys too that are in position to go out there and lease the equipment. I can't necessarily buy. That's a big chunk of money to buy a rig that you can hook up to trailers, but you can go lease those things all day long and make money and pay for the tires and the diesel.
Okay, so what was the deal going on in the Reagan years when we had, didn't we have like a 7% growth year under Reagan or 8% growth year? Somehow the number is lower today. The number of people who's consider the economy the top problem is lower today than it was in like 1984, when there was a 49-state landslide because the economy was doing so good. Is it really better, or are we really more optimistic about it now than we were during the Reagan years? Because that's kind of before my coherence.
So many things are different, and it goes with the technology era. And in this industries that we have, people, as many people aren't left behind on the change. When you go to industries, and we're more industrial country then, more factory oriented, and we're more technology now. You want to go make, you're kind of left behind in your field, but you're pretty sharp. You pick up things. Hey, if somebody can show it to me, I can learn it. Go to coding school. You can do it online. Go to a CRAM course, 8 months. You will be working at near six-figure income when you get out of it. There is work. There's not enough coders. There's not enough truck drivers. And you're going to see more shortages coming as we keep expanding.
What's that one group? Is it Flatiron? The online coding school?
Online, as well as you can go there and get a full crammed course that will go much faster than the online school. And you will leave that school working.
Yeah, you hear that, Dad? My dad's kind of semi-retired, looking for a side job.
But think about it. In this world, this economy, you need to kind of be agile. This isn't, well, you know, I did this for 20 years. And, you know, look, we do have the segment, and nothing wrong with it. They go do the 8 to 5, 9 to 5, whatever it is, and then they pick up a six-pack on the way home and go home. Nothing wrong with that. I typically drink a bottle of wine in the evening, not by myself, which equivalent to what? Couple glasses, 2.5 glasses, the pour, whether it's a 3 ounce, 6 ounce, or 8 ounce pour, you know.
Well, from a waiter's perspective, there's four glasses in every bottle.
Right. Yeah. So depending on the pour.
When I'm pouring at home, maybe not.
4 to 6.
Yeah.
Might be 2.
Might be 2. It's closer to 2.
I was just thinking about when I arrived home for my break before the show tonight, Stacy, your wine's over there. I was like, God, that's a big pour. I don't know how many ounces it was, but it was more than 6. So with that said, where you kind of go kick your heels up, watch your Netflix and stuff for the rest of the evening. You know, some of us are out there reading, or some of us get up in the morning and read for an hour or two. And I've done that for decades. There's just, what can I, Sunday, I'm reading. I do other things. I am a regular guy, but, you know, I like my racetrack time as well, but I'm going to be reading. So this is where we're in the technological world.
Technological.
I messed it all up. But what I'm getting at is you're better to shift nowadays than you were back then. You know, maybe the auto industry was really rocking and rolling. What, can I get in on the assembly line? Can I learn how to put cars together? And so, no, it's not going to be that simple as it is today. And guess what? You can go and jettison your resume everywhere. It's a whole different world on that.
Well, I'm glad you're so high on coding. I've always tried to tell adults, kids get it, young adults get it, but just adults think that coding is some mystical language like learning Greek or something. No, if you can figure out your phone, you can go figure out coding. And you're not that far behind everyone else that's doing it, because the new stuff that you're going to be learning has only been out 5 years, maybe. There's not someone with 20 years experience that you're going to be competing against, because it hasn't even existed that long.
Oh, if I was left behind, that'd probably be the first thing I'd go do.
I went and learned all kinds of coding in the late 90s. It's all obsolete. It's all obsolete,
yeah,
except for HTML.
And it's a whole new world, and it's going to evolve. And if you're involved in that, then you're keeping up. But, you know, just think, it is a different world today than it was back then.
I guess you could say that we still use HTML. It's the language I learned in college. But really, we use these web editors on top of it, and they code the HTML in the background for you.
You're having a lot of help
in
coding today as well. Well, look, here's the perfect story, and it goes back to Trump. Let's see, who was his social media guru?
Oh yeah, what was that guy's name? Was it Jeff or something?
I don't know, but he's up from lives Topeka, Kansas. Remember, he went to school, learned coding online, and then started hanging around libraries, and somebody be and stay in the technology section. And somebody be looking at webhook. He said, hey, I could help you build a website. You need some help on that? Started selling himself and then doing the social media thing. And then basically, I guess he connected up with Trump's crew and said, hey, I can help y'all out. Next thing you know, he's the bomb at it. And he was learning something because the career he was in ended. So he changed fields. What did he do? Read some books.
Yeah, I think before that he repaired beepers. Isn't that what he did?
Yeah, whatever. It left behind.
He used to rewind the tapes at Blockbuster if you weren't kind and you didn't rewind.
I would think if you can work on iPhone 4s, you might be out of work if you hadn't learned the newer models.
Very good. All right, if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. The numbers are next. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap. Join the conversation. Were you holding bonds today? Maybe you have a mutual fund. You were using the bond fund inside. Variable annuity. Maybe you had something with those high fees and had bonds inside of it. You might not like your values tomorrow when it shows up. How about that pension lump sum? How about that Social Security? I'm going to share with you upcoming. I don't know when I do this, but had interesting events happen regarding, you know, my mom passed away a couple months ago. Then she was a Social Security recipient, of course. And it's just interesting, the sequence of events, what letter shows up in the mail, what check shows up, the timing of, oh, we got to make sure this stops because or else they'll take the money. So we'll probably, I don't know, got a lot going on here, but we're going to cover it in the next 2 weeks. Got a little bit more to unwind from that story, but I think it's going to be really interesting, the information you're going to learn from my family's story as well. The phone number is 504-260-0995. The Winning at Life app. Join the nation by downloading the app. Everyone's doing it. It's the cool thing to do. It's the in crowd. You can become a part of the nation. Go to your app store, Winning at Life. Free download, one-time login. You can text us, email us, call the show. Podcasts, a lot of resources for you there as well.
The number. All right, welcome to the number segment on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world today while you were out winning it life. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs I'm looking at right now. Go to winningitlife.com or the Winning It Life app. And it was green all the way around. Sharp reversal from the lackluster report we brought you yesterday. But the Dow Jones Industrial shot up.
Can I point out, well, we hit China with $200 billion in tariffs.
Sort of.
They fired back with $60 billion headed our way in tariffs. So market obviously took it all in and said, well, let's go up some more.
Yeah, and there was a few caveats in there. Okay, it's not a 25% tariff until the end of the year. It's only going to be 10% now, and we're going to exempt the most important things that we buy from them. So, like the Apple phone. Like
Apple phone. Yeah,
and the watches and whatnot. So, we know that the market obviously knows that this isn't a real trade war yet, and there's still more saber rattling than actual war.
This is a trade war. There's tariffs in place that weren't. This thing's been amped up and more warnings. And look, it says at this point, we're firing bigger missiles over your bow.
And they're shooting back smaller ones.
Yeah, and they're shooting back smaller ones, and they're like hoping to somehow get out of this mess with everything intact. Think about it that way. But this is terrible. And the thing about it, you can't get into a tariff. Oh, it's going to be the worst thing ever. Nobody ever wins. Well, that's history. I'd say the United States as a country is winning. We've got deals put in place. Other deals are coming. China.
Right. Is everything perfect? No, but is it better than it was 2 years ago? Yeah, we're making progress. We made progress with Europe.
And
Canada.
We're going to be improved when the deal's done with them, too. And the number one thing, and maybe they have some advantage on pricing of certain things, but you know what? Technology theft's going to end. We can't keep giving that away.
For me, that's a much bigger deal than the trade deficit.
Yeah. Oh, totally agree.
Well, the market agrees with you. You know, your optimistic take on it is exactly what happened in Wall Street today. The Dow Jones is up to 26,246. And it's really the only next point of resistance it has is its record all-time high that it left for us back at the beginning of January, which is kind of interesting because if someone would have told you in the middle of January that the market's going to be flat at least through the end of September, you'd have been shocked. But the S&P was up 0.5% as well, and it's at almost an all-time record high. It barely beat it last week, 2,904. That is a huge number. NASDAQ, now it dropped down below the 8,000 mark earlier this week, but it gained back 60 and almost crossed it again. It's up 0.8% today, 7,956. And our Russell was up 0.4% as well, so green all the way around.
Just looking at some numbers here, the one-year chart on, go back to September 20th of 2017, the Dow's at 22,412.59. We're at 26,246.96.
Woohoo!
Right now. Nice move for this to be a tariff year. And for the most part, we had to climb up since last October. Part of that Trump rally had continued, went sideways. But when you look at a one-year chart where this is, and we're in good territory, not the high for the past 12 months. The high for the past 12 months is 26,616. Not far from it, but it'll be interesting to see how this goes out 6 months from now. So when we get, say, to beginning of the year and hit that high, when are we surpassing that high going down the road? Is it when all these tariffs come under control? Because there is going to be a point. This isn't going to be some bloody war for 8 years. China can't tolerate it that long. And as I had covered with you a couple weeks ago, they're not feeling the pain yet. All they know is it's coming because their numbers are still doing good right now, but it's coming. So let me get back over here to the 10-year treasuries and whoo, what a change today. We're at 3.052%. When you go look at a 1 month chart on that,
yeah,
that is a run up from where we were. You're kind of looking at back on 8/21, we were at 2.833%, and today we're at 3.052%. So money's leaving the bond market. There's confidence out there, but also we're pricing in interest rate hike.
That's coming next week?
Everything's leading to that.
All right, you can guess where gold's at.
The same.
Yeah, $1,200, give or take a few dollars here, is the safe guess that we've had basically all of September. And it holds true today. $1,199 is what I have in after hours.
Yeah, I'm jumping over here to the Fed meetings just to confirm. I don't want to throw it out there. 25th, 26th, and there's an asterisk, which means...
Is it podium?
Yeah, podium, which what they mean by podium, that's my short version. There's a meeting associated with a summary of economic projections and a press conference by the chair, which means there's a podium.
Yeah.
Rate hike's coming. When's there a podium again? December 18th, 19th FOMC meeting. So now we're back to the, we talked about crude oil, 69.66 a barrel, Brent 78.81, gold, you mentioned about the same, 1203, 1204 is kind of what we're seeing after hours. Silver, slightly up, $14.20 an ounce. And, you know, if let's say gold is acting normally based on occurrences, there's no fear. There's no doom and gloom. It's tariffs aren't sending us to Hades. Gold's dropped and enjoying hanging around 1203, 1204, 1205. It's nice here. We're out here on the swing, enjoying and cool breeze.
That's what you want from gold. You want stability.
Yeah. And you have it.
Because that means
just does it. How much is the dividend on gold, by the way?
Let me check the charts right here. Zero.
Okay. That's what I thought.
The big winner on the short sheet is Netflix. Is this some sort of Emmy bounce? Because it was 5% positive today. Look where this stock is at. $367, Gregory. This is almost a $400 stock. We've been doing the show so long. You, when it was almost $100, you said, I'm going to go ahead and call it now. It's a $200 stock. Boy, we were just pups back then.
We were so wrong. Well, when it got there.
On the short term, look, you're right.
Yeah, but I was doing that before it even broke 100, mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, wow, are you sure you want to go there? Yeah, I do. It looks so right, felt so good when we got there, and then it turned out, oh, so wrong.
You know, what's interesting is at some point the math is going to have to come to bear on Netflix. There was a nice little column I saw in MarketWatch over the weekend. I didn't feel like bringing it in, but I just remember that they were going through Amazon and Netflix and Hulu and all these other streaming services. And they noticed that they've all started with the price, and they've been inching it up and inching it up and inching it up. And if you stack your streaming services so you can get a little everything, because like producer Angie, she has Hulu, Amazon, and Netflix. Well, if you add all that up, it's starting to get kind of close to the basic cable package, right? And so, yeah, that's going to be another interesting thing to watch as this evolution kind of works itself out in our TVs. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How you doing? It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. We left out one of the streaming services, Sling.
You know, that's like a resurgent for me because I go back in the day, which is like 10 years when you're speaking about technology. You know, some people are like back in the day, 30, 40 years ago. No, back in the day is like 10 years because there's so much happened in 10 years. You have, where else do we go in time to create an equivalent of so much advancement by decades? You'd probably have to look at the previous 20 years before the past 10 years to maybe
nothing comes close to what's happened the last 10 years.
So yeah, that doesn't go. It's like 30, 40 years. You know, cars didn't advance that much from World War II to present to what's happened with phones, computers. Unbelievable.
504-260-0995. Steve. Steve, where are you listening from here? The location, Angie started to type in a story, and I'm not reading all that, so maybe you can just tell us. Where are you from, Steve?
Actually, I'm from Houston, and I'm calling driving in Canada.
Wow.
Okay, so how do you know about us down here in New Orleans?
So I listen to your show on iHeartRadio.
Awesome.
Okay, good enough explanation for me.
See, that's one reason to download the Winning at Life app. It can hook you up with the stream.
Are you a trucker?
No. I had to come out here for work, and I have a long drive between Montreal and Toronto. So.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're sharing with us.
I've got you guys on hands-free, so I'm not driving with a phone in my hand.
Well, that doesn't bother me a bit, but your hands-free sounds just fine, so we'll just stick with this. Let's get you some help then, Steve. I'd love to be able to help you out.
Okay, so my daughter turned 16 this year and got her first job. And I remember when I was 16, I don't have anything to show for the money that I earned. And what I wanted to do for her that I really didn't have an opportunity when I was 16 was to set up something like a Roth IRA for her. Are there any restrictions based on how much she makes as a 16-year-old and her age for the Roth IRA?
Long as she has enough earned income to cover the deposits, does she work part-time, make any money?
So she works part-time and she pays taxes on that. What I was thinking is I'm going to be restricted by how much they actually pay her on our pay stubs for how much we could contribute. Is that correct?
That's right. That is correct. Okay. You're limited to that. Unless you have your own business or a side business that you could compensate her and show some earned income, then you could get some more in. But she has to show earned income to cover the deposits.
Okay. Another question I have on that is, since she's 16, she can't really open an account directly on her own, so an adult would have to open it for her, correct?
Well, no, the account's going to have to be in her name there.
Oh. Okay. I thought I was being restricted by that. Okay.
Yeah, you just need to run it through. Now, there might be some that don't want to fool with that because they're minor as such. We've never had to open up one for a minor. We may have, it's rare, but that's something that should be workable to get that done because it is a Roth account. They have earned income. It should be able to set up. There might be something to sign off on you okaying it as such, but this is not a custodial account. This is not a UGMA or 529 that we're using for college. This is her Roth IRA.
I'm sorry, what's an UGMA?
Uniform Gift to Minors Act. It's a old version of 529, putting money away for college.
I see. All right, Steve, got any follow-ups on that?
Nope, that sounds good.
Well, I guess you're already thinking about the compounding interest. If you get started at 16 and then you retire at, let's just say, 66, that's 50 years of compounding interest. So that $100 she puts away this year will grow exponentially. Is that what's on your mind?
So my plan is she will only have so many years to be able to contribute to this. So the sooner she starts.
All right. Well, I love the forward thinking. I'm glad you thought of us. The guy from Houston driving around in Canada between Montreal and Toronto decides to call the guys in New Orleans, not even using his hands.
Awesome. Thanks and be safe.
Great call, Steve.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Well, that was an honor. That was we hadn't got an international call in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. That's pretty cool.
All right.
Guy from Houston traveling about.
Let's go back to somewhere less exotic. Dan in New Orleans. You're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Dan?
It's really metric, but Mine's
even less exotic.
And the last time I got interested in computing, I was about 45 years old. I was working for the Department of Agriculture, and they gave a test to see who would be good in computers. We had punch cards at the time, and I scored the highest score they'd ever seen, they tell me. But at the same time, I was offered a job with the Corps of Engineers as an economist at a big salary compared to what they would have given me at the computer school. So I took that instead. And I've been kicking myself, you know where, ever since. The guy that got that job passed me up so much quicker with computers than I knew what to do with. So I'm asking, is it too late to get into computers?
I don't know that it's too late. It depends on how much time you have to learn, your ability to learn and pick up something new. I don't know that it's very different from what you've done in the past, but when we were talking about flat iron earlier, flatironschool.com, for those that are interested, hey, I'd like to change. I learn fast and et cetera. Job placement rate for them, and this is job seeking students in the New York City Outcomes Report who took full-time salaried roles and paid apprenticeships and part-time roles during the reporting period. So that's kind of the disclosure for their stats online, but they've got a 97% placement rate. Average starting salary, $76K. Industries review, and I don't know what the makeup is for this rating, but I would assume it's good. It's 4.95 rated on SwitchUp, whatever. And you can go to the website, flatironschool.com, and look at that. But, you know, if I was at a dead end and couldn't find work or something, and you tell me that the average starting salary's 76,000, I'm a fast learner, I'm pretty sharp, I can outwork most people, outstudy, outread. Yeah. There's opportunity out there in this economy, even at a low unemployment rate. That you, and what is the need for the future, James? Coding.
Absolutely.
On everything.
Dan, what's holding you back? You sound like a smart guy. Why haven't you already jumped at this?
Like I told you, 85 years old.
Nah, that's a terrible excuse. Do you already use Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, a switch has been turned in the last 10 years where you can't just assume that old people are technophobes. Now, technophobes are just as likely to be in any age group, and they've all embraced it. They're all, not, I don't want to say all of them, but the overwhelming majority are just as tech savvy as some guy in his 40s now.
If you can code, it don't matter the age. There's jobs.
And there's levels of it. So if you want to go down and do the command line where you have to type out all the words, that's, you know, a level of coding that's a little harder and probably get you more money. But like the programs that we use to develop the Winning at Life app, there's not even any real coding involved in that. It has this user-friendly graphical interface. So you're doing a lot of drag and drops, and yeah, you have to type in some content or some links here and there, but it's not a whole lot of technical ability required. You just really have to be trained on the program that they're using, and that can't take but a few months. So Dan, you're really within a year of having a new career.
Yeah, it is just kind of interesting on some of their breakdowns here. Career Change Bootcamp, online data science bootcamp. In as little as 15 weeks, learn the skills needed to become a successful career data scientist, one of the most sought-after roles in tech. Then I'm looking at another one here. Online Software Engineering Bootcamp, launch your career as a full-stack web developer with our proven curriculum and passionate instructors alongside a driven online student community. And the box you click is change your career. They have another one, coding bootcamp prep, start learning. Look, they didn't pay us any money. They're not a program sponsor, but this is for people that are kind of like, I'm like disconnected. I feel left behind. Well, in 15 weeks, you could be back up to speed.
Let me drop a little hot sports opinion on you. If this had been available when I graduated high school, I wouldn't have gone to college. I would have done this instead. College looks ridiculous compared to this.
Me too.
I learned.
You tell me I can be doing this in 15 weeks,
and
76K.
You know, I'd take out student loans to do it. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life, the daily wrap. We do it every evening, 7 o'clock. We have about 10, 11 minutes left for you to join the conversation. Great calls this evening. Whether you're on the road in Colorado, Houston, Canada, or Nolens.
Well, we're Metri. Here.
Metri.
The last guy was from well. Metri.
Gulfport, Mobile. Winning at Life's hotline is 504-260-0995. Winning at Life app. You can email, text us, even call us from the app. You know, we're on Facebook Live, Periscope, which is connected to Twitter for logins.
Yep.
But we do a post every day about a show topic now on the show. And look, the new world of streaming, like we talked about Netflix earlier, ridiculous share price. Yeah, we bought it for a song a couple years ago. What was that song selling at? About $76. And now it's back over $360 now. Head back towards 400 again. See, it created a buying opportunity, but it's streaming. So we're streaming on Facebook Live. That's what it is. You could log on to your Facebook and pick up the show, watch it live, or do as you're doing on the iHeartRadio stream or your air feed and just listen to the show, which is awesome. Periscope as well. That's the new world. 10 years ago, we weren't doing this.
Hi, y'all.
Well, yeah, you're right. We weren't doing the show. We've been doing the show about 8.5 years now.
Well, Periscope didn't exist. Facebook Live didn't exist. the iHeartRadio app didn't exist.
We weren't doing any of these other media areas as well. But now we've got millennials a little bit disconnected. Millennials are trying to build wealth, and they need to know one simple fact. Invisible money, lack of financial education, and not understanding how investments compound over time can lead to serious missteps. And millennials withdraw money from their 401k plans like it's a piggy bank as well. You know, that's, you know, you've heard me tell my backstory a number of times, and most thing that fascinated me in high school was what?
Compound interest.
It was just unbelievable what you could do with that. You know, I was always entrepreneurial since I was about 10, but it's just like, gosh, how can we make some more money? Can I do that and flip that next car, put some money in savings? I don't recall what the interest rate was back then. But at 12 years old, and our caller, yeah, I understand about setting up an account, the minor, but I do know this: at age 12, I went to the bank and set up a savings account, and there was no parent with me. There was no grandparent with me. It was just me and the teller. And I set up, had a little passbook account. So I'd go do my little lawn mowing, repairing washing machines at the laundromat, and I'd go put my money in the bank and so excited when it would show some interest credits there. So, okay, back to the topic here is, according to E-Trade, more than a third of millennials make withdrawals from their 401k plans, and they use the money for what? Vacation. Purchases and other personal expense.
A third sounds like a lot.
Well, that's what Greg Merced, a certified financial planner and CEO of Busy Kid, that's what he says. This is a very high percentage. A savings app for kids and families. These early withdrawals point to inability to set priorities. Maybe Busy Kid might be something we check into that Greg Merced has.
Busy Kid?
But yeah, Busy Kid, B-U-S-Y-K-I-D. And James on the break said, you know, this is clear. There's a lack, and I'll tell you, share this with you before I get into our conversation. There's a lack of financial literacy. Only 17 states have required personal finance course for high school students. This can set kids up for financial problems later in life, including lower credit scores. Yeah, they're not knowing how to balance an online account. Back in my day, it was a paper check. You know, I had this little passbook I told. Then got to checking. I had to keep up and log everything and keep up with it and make sure it all ticked and tied. And they don't know how to do this. They don't understand that not opening a credit card and not paying the bill is going to be a problem. Parents and schools blame each other, Merced said. Parents say the school should be teaching it. I agree. And then, James, you commented.
That sounds like it should be the parents' job.
Yeah, so you're expecting the parents to teach them how to do finance? Well, there's other things in life. We've got high schoolers shooting each other out there. You see it on the news, and they're not stopping them from doing that.
So they probably they're going to say,
oh, by the way, here's how you need to do your savings and checking and credit cards, and stay off the streets at night.
So you're suggesting the parent who hasn't done the, you know, the basic human decency work of convincing their kids to not be murderers, probably hadn't got to the general ledger portion of their kids' education. We haven't got past thou shalt not murder yet.
Personal finance is not complicated math. You don't need a calculator for it. You should run these numbers in your head. This is not hard stuff, but gosh, you should spend a half a school year on this basic stuff so they understand the pros and cons and repercussions and the rewards of doing it right.
All right. We have a caller on hold here. Just asked, what's the website for the coding classes again? Flatironschool.com.
Flatironschool.com. It's up on my browser. Flat F L A T I R O N S C H O O L.com. Flatiron School, just like it sounds.
All right, did you hear that guy on line two on hold? Okay, I think he nodded. I think I saw him nod. All right, so let's do line one then. Douglas Biloxi, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Douglas?
Hello, this is calling from Biloxi. Just retired about 2.5 years ago. I moved to Biloxi 6 months ago. I've been listening to your show. I love it. First time caller. And it was so funny. I was listening tonight, and I heard the older gentleman talking about, you know, switching careers and learning coding. And I thought, well, you know, I guess I'm about a couple of years ahead of where he wants to be. So I have kind of a different perspective on the things that were discussed. But I actually called because I have TSD in a traditional, and I want to figure out how on earth I can get to a Roth, because I use my skills to invent an app. I'm fully planning on being successful with it. So I want to convert that stuff and get the tax burden out of the way before I become a zillionaire.
Well, that's a good move on TSP. So you're no longer working for the federal government then?
Correct.
Okay. Well, you have the opportunity to roll that money over. One of your steps maybe is to roll it over to an IRA. So it's a custodial movement of money. So there's not a taxable event. And then converting that strategically, maybe over a few years, and I don't know your amount, but it's kind of how much tax bite can you have, because you're switching pre-tax money to after-tax, which is a Roth. And yes, that's where you can convert that over, subject to income caps. No, that's contributions. I'm sorry. I retract that immediately.
Because it's the back door.
Right. We're doing a Roth conversion, so there's no income limit. So the only thing you have to worry about is the tax bill. Because once you do a Roth conversion now, you cannot undo it. You cannot recharacterize that event. So whether you can afford to do it in a lump sum. And what I would do is manage tax brackets, because the purpose of it is to do it lower tax brackets. And you've already projected that, dude, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to be in higher tax brackets. And we know taxes are going to go up in the future. That's a certainty. So that's why I would kind of strategically plan it over a few years. Does that help, Douglas?
Yes. And if you'd like to know what I did on the on that gentleman's that question that he had laying out in front of him as far as retraining and getting into coding and things.
Please do.
Yeah, well, what I did was the last, I'd say about a year before I retired, I had this brilliant idea that I wanted to turn into my hat. It's reallyvote.com, by the way, just to do a little plug. But when I didn't know how to make it, I knew what I wanted to do, so I got an online course. I'm not going to mention the name unless you want me to, but there's plenty of good ones out there. And I taught myself PHP code, and I figured out how to do it, got it running, and then I hired a professional developer to continue it on. And the reason I say that is because when you get into coding, it's like a lot of subjects in life. You can go in any direction, and you will never get to the end of the learning thing. You could be learning stacks. You could be learning PHP. You could be learning networks.
Thank you for the call. We're out of time. Appreciate that feedback.
All right. If you need some financial help, GregoryRicks.com or call his office, 504-832-9200. You're home away from the show for the podcast and everything else, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is for educational and entertainment purposes only and does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Strategies for the private use of our audience. Find podcasts and contact info in the Winning at Life app and winningatlife.com. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.